morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. And actually, we're going to move off a little bit from the topic of Rosh Hashanim. The Amud Aleph, Tes Amud Aleph, deals with a very, very important concept in Halacha, the concept of Mosif in Micholol HaKodesh. We have to add from the non-holy to the holy, so that when we get to Yom Kippur, you can't say, oh, well, sunset is at 6:56, so we're going to start Yom Kippur at 6:56. If sunset is 6:56, you have to add a little bit. You have to stop with the eating already at 6:45 or 6:50. You have to add from the non-holy to the holy. Shabbos, even though sunset is at 7 o'clock, we don't start keeping Shabbos at 7. We start a couple minutes earlier. We don't end right away when the first minute that we can. We wait a little bit so that we add from the holy to the non-holy. So that's going to be the topic on Daf Tes. And then again on Testament Beis, we're going to get back to some of the laws of Rosh Hashanah, beginnings of the year. So the way we get into this topic is because we were discussing a pasuk. The pasuk says, Yovel hi, shnasa hamishim shana. So the Gemara said, what we learned from Yovel hi, shnasa hamishim shana, is that in Yovel, in the 50th year, the 50th year is holy, but not a little bit before and not a little bit after. Says the Gemara, Udmosifin. We are on Tes Amud Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. Actually, 4 lines from the top. Udmosifin, Michol, Al Kodesh, Minala. Now the fifth line. How do we know that we are to normally add from the non-holy to the holy? We said that the verse says Yovel Hi. It's Yovel. You don't add to Yovel, which implies that generally when you have a holy period, you would be adding to the holy period. How do we know that we are to add from the holy to the non-holy? So the Tanya, we looked at a Braisa, source number one, the source of Rabbi Akiva. The pasuk says about Shabbos in Parshas Mishpatim. Sheishas yam tavod, 6 days work. Uvayom ha-shvi'i tishbos, on the seventh day, cease from working. Becharish uvakatzir tishbos, from plowing and from harvesting, you should rest. That's a very difficult thing. We know in regards to Shabbos, the Torah says, Kol malacha lo sasu. Don't do any malacha on Shabbos. And malachos, 39 malachos. Harisha and Ktzira are 2 of the 39 malachos. There are 39 malachos. There's Zoreya, there is Ma'amer, there's Dash, there's Lash, there's Borer, there's Tochein, there's Ofeh, there's Merake, there's Benapes, there's Gozes, there's Malabe, and there are many malachos. So why did the Torah just say, Becharishu v'katsir tishbos? From the plowing and from the harvest, you should stop. Plowing and harvesting, you're stopping. You're stopping many malachos. So Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk is switching. The beginning of the pasuk was talking about Shabbos. Sheishas yamim tavod. 6 days work, Yom HaShviyi Tishbos. The seventh day, you're supposed to stop. And then it switches to another time when you're supposed to be stopping. When is there a time when you're supposed to be stopping and the stopping is that you don't plow and you don't plant and you don't harvest? Shemitah. So the end of the pasuk is not talking about the seventh day, it's talking about the seventh year. And it's saying, Becharish uvekatzir tishbos, on the seventh year, stop with the plowing, stop with the harvesting. Now, that's also a bit of a problem. We have other psukim telling us that already. We don't need the pasuk and Parshas Mishpatim to tell us this. We have many psukim, Parshas Bahar, other places where the Torah says that you're supposed to rest in the seventh year. So Rabbi Akiva says, hey, no, tzarech lomer harish v'katzir shol shviyis. We don't really need a pasuk to tell me that you're not supposed to plant, and I'm sorry, you're not supposed to plow and you can't harvest during Shemitah. Sharei kvar ne'emar, we have other psukim. We don't need a mitzvah saseh, v'charish v'katzir tishbos. We have mitzvah slosa say, sad chalot tizra, don't plant your field, the Torah says. Karma chalot tizmor, don't prune your vineyard. Es in venezi recha lo sivtzor, don't harvest the grapes of your harvest. Ella, rather, why did it say, becharish v'katzir tishbos? It's to teach you a new halacha. Ella charish al erev shviyas hanichnas l'shviyas, the plowing of year 6, going into year 7, The katzir shel shvias hayotzi l'motzoi shvias, and the harvesting of the wheat of year 7, going now out into year 8, you cannot do. So this pasuk is actually telling me you're supposed to add to Shemitah. You add to Shemitah at the beginning, you add to Shemitah at the end. The way Rashi reads it, it's the plowing done at the end of the 6th year, which is plowing that helps you for the 7th year, you already can't do. Just the fact that it will help you in the 7th year, even though you're doing it in the 6th year, is already not allowed, because you have to add to the 7th year. And when you have grain that grew already a third in the 7th year, it's now grain of the 7th year. Now it is still governed by all the laws of the 7th year. Going out into the 8th year, you're not allowed to harvest it in the normal way. You can't take it to sell it. You know, all the things, you can't waste it. You can't cause it to have loss. All the laws. So this is the source that you're supposed to add. It's talking about Shemitah. But from Shemitah, we learned everything else. Shemitah is a holy time. And Hashem wants you to add to the holy time. Even though it's a holy time of the 7th year. But here's the pasuk of the Charsh of Akatsu Tishbos. These extra words. It's telling you you're supposed to add to it. You're supposed to add to the 7th year. You should be adding to Shabbos. You should be adding to Yom Kippur. You should be adding to Yom Tov. Any holiday that you have, you should be adding to it. That's the source you're supposed to be adding to Cholol HaKodesh. That explains what we learned yesterday. You would have thought that Yovel also is a holy time. You're supposed to add to it. You have to have a special pasuk. And Yovel not. Yovel hi shvasa chamishim shana. It's only the 50th year, but nothing added to it. Okay, that's opinion number one. Yeah, Baruch, a question.
Yeah, we have on the other side too, from when, let's say, when the Shabbat is over, you don't finish it right then, you have a few minutes
exactly.
From holy going to the river.
Exactly, you have to add to the holiness, exactly. You have to add, that's right, don't rush right out of Shabbos. Add to the holiness, 100%, very true. Okay, so this is source number one, Rabbi Akiva's source. However, Rabbi Shmuel says, no. This pasuk is not talking about Shemitah. This pasuk, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is talking about Shabbos. The beginning of the pasuk was about Shabbos. The beginning of the verse was, Sheshtemim Tavod, we almost read Tishbos. 6 days work, on the 7th day, rest. So, what does it then mean, the Harish of Akatsir Tishbos? From plowing and from harvesting, rest. You're supposed to rest from all the 39 malachos, not only from plowing and harvesting. So what does it say? From plowing and from harvesting, rest. The answer is, says Rabbi Shmuel, the verse by saying from plowing and harvesting the rest is saying like this. The things you have to rest are things that are like plowing. So what type of harvesting do you have to rest from? The harvesting which is like plowing. That's the harvesting that you can't do on Shabbos. Macharish v'shus. Now plowing is always an option. There's no such thing as a Torah obligation to plow ever. The Torah never says go plow. So the resting on Shabbos from harvesting is you're resting from the optional harvests, not the obligatory harvests. What's an obligatory harvest? The Omer. On the second day of Pesach, there's a mitzvah to go out and to cut from the new barley and to bring it as a karban. On the night after the first day of Pesach, they cut from the new barley. That's a mitzvah. So Yatzak Tzira Omer, if that day is going to be a Shabbos, they could do it on Shabbos. Because the harvesting, which is a mitzvah, is not what was prohibited. The Torah prohibits. The Torah says rest from things that are like plowing. Plowing is never a mitzvah. So you rest from things that are malachos, that are not mitzvos. But when you have katzir of a mitzvah, the harvesting of a mitzvah, the harvesting of the Omer, that you do even on Shabbos. Yatzak Tzira Omer. So the point of the pasuk of Becharshim and Katzir Tishbos is to exclude the harvesting of the Omer, she mitzvah, and therefore it can occur even on Shabbos.
So, Rabbi, the year 7, you, whatever the land grows, you just leave it alone, let people come and take it, the other people, you know, you're not allowed to harvest them, or Shemitah time, I'm talking about.
So it's a little bit more complicated than that. When the Torah says you cannot harvest during Shemitah, what it means is you can't harvest in the normal way. But you could harvest in an unusual way. So whatever grows during Shemitah, let's say if it's a tree, that's still producing oranges, apples, and these apples blossom during Shemitah, you cannot pick the apples in the normal way, which would be to pick all of them and put them into storage. You could pick a small amount, though. Now, that small amount is Whatever grows is hefker, is ownerless. Anybody wants it can come take. But it's you pick a small amount. That's in terms of the fruits. In terms of the vegetables or the grain, it's more complicated. Grain that was picked, grain that grew a third before Shemitah, so that's not Shemitah grain, that you can pick in a normal way. But if it grew a third during Shemitah, it's Shemitah grain. Shemitah grain is actually prohibited. You can't even eat it. And the same is true with Shemitah vegetables. Shemitah vegetables, you're not allowed to eat at all. Svichin are prohibited. So those, well, you wouldn't plant the vegetables, so hopefully you wouldn't get any. And if anything grew from before Shemitah, so according to most authorities, whatever is picked has to go to waste. You can't eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. Let the Goyim, let the Arabs go take it, but you couldn't take it. The Chazon Ish had a very big leniency, very novel leniency. The Chazon Ish felt that the prohibition of Svichin, this prohibition of grain and bushes during Shemitah, only applies to something that was planted during Shemitah, took root during Shemitah, and picked during Shemitah. But if it was planted before, and it took root before, and it's only picked during Shemitah, then it just has the holiness of Shemitah. You can't pick it in a normal way. Eat a little bit, but other people can also take and eat from it. And that's a big leniency of the Chazon Ish. But other than that view, typically everybody else would say vegetables or grain of Shemitah, dated either by the picking or by the when it grew a third, is prohibited. You're not allowed to eat at all. That's nice.
The Jews are not allowed to eat it.
Yes, Gentiles can eat.
Even the Armenians are not allowed to eat it. Only goes to Gentiles, very animals.
Yeah, animals, yeah, for sure. So now, according to Yishmael, this pasuk which is about Shabbos, the Charsh of a Katzer Tishbo is teaching me halacha about Shabbos, that on Shabbos you're allowed to harvest for the Ktiras HaOmer. So Rabbi Yishmael, Mosif Michol HaKodesh Minhalei. How does Rabbi Yishmael know that every holy time that you have, you're supposed to add to it? How does he know? Again, everybody knows this. Yom Kippur is supposed to add to Yom Kippur. Yom Tov is supposed to add to Yom Tov. Shemitah is supposed to add to Shemitah. How do you know you're supposed to add to holy times? So the Gemara says he doesn't learn it from Shemitah, doesn't learn it from Shabbos. Nachlei Midatanya, according to Rabbi Yishmael, he learns it from a Braisa about Yom Kippur. The Torah says about Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabboson hilachem, v'ini semes nafsho seichem, v'sisho lachodesh bo'erev, me'erev ad erev, tishbesu shabbatchem. The Torah says, Shabbos Shabboson hilachem, it's the Shabbos of Shabbos is for you. V'ini semes nafsho seichem, and you should afflict your souls. And then you have a strange phrase, v'tisho lachodesh, on the ninth of the month. The ninth of the month? Yom Kippur is the tenth of the month. Then it says, though, bo'erev, in the evening. That sounds like it's not the ninth of the month anymore. It sounds like it's after the ninth of the month. But if it's in the evening, it's not the ninth of the month, it's really the tenth of the month. And then it says, from evening until evening. So that pasuk is how Rabbi Shmuel learns what you're supposed to add. Since it says, v'ini semes nafsho seichem, you should afflict your souls, betish on the ninth. Yoho betisha, does it really mean that? That on the ninth you're supposed to afflict your souls? Tamalom, the verse then goes on with the next word of saying, bo'erev, in the evening. Now, if you have ba'erev, yachal mishatefshach, you think that it means that you afflict yourself once it's dark, once it's night, once it's the tenth. But on the other hand, it's said on the ninth. On the ninth means that it's not already the tenth. If it's dark, it's already the tenth. But it's already on the ninth. So, okay, so how do you resolve it? What it means is that there's a mitzvah here to add to the fast day, to add to Yom Kippur. And to start fasting when it's still the ninth. And that's the source. You have to add from the secular to the holy. You have to add to Yom Kippur. That would be the source. So you have to add to Shabbos and Shemitah and other things too. It says the Gemara, Ainli Ella Biknisaso. All right, maybe you're supposed to add to Yom Kippur at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Yitzias Minayin. How are you supposed to add to Yom Kippur at the end of Yom Kippur? Keep it going a little bit more. Tamaloma, that is taught from the other part of the pasuk. Erev at erev, from evening until evening. So what you do at the first evening is what you do at the last evening. You add at the beginning, you add at the end. Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's the source for Yom Kippur. Shabbos minayin. How do we know that for a Shabbos? Also, you're supposed to add Talmud Lomer. That you see from the fact that it says in this verse, Tish B'su, you should be resting, including Shabbos. Yom Tov Minayin. How do we know that all holidays you're supposed to add Talmud Lomer? That's what you learn from the fact that it says in this verse, Shabbat Chem. Ketzad, what does that mean? Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Shvus. Any time when there is a cessation of work and we're supposed to be stopping from work, we add from the secular to the holy. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the source he adds from the secular to the holy is Bechar Shavakatsu Tishbos, which is about Shemitah. According to Ishmael, the source he adds from the secular to the holy is from the fact it says, and it says in that Pasuk, Tishbesu, and it says Shabbat Chem. Rabbi Akiva, what is Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk of Rabbi Shmuel? You should afflict yourselves on the ninth. You don't afflict yourselves on the ninth. You afflict yourselves on the tenth. As the Gemara Yibayla Lekidatani, Chia Bar Rav Nedifti. He uses that for what Chia, the son of Rav Nedifti, taught. The Tani Chia Bar Rav Nedifti, Chia, the son of Rav Nedifti, taught. The verse says, V'inisemes nafsho seichem betisha. The verse says, you should afflict yourselves on the ninth. So again, the same question. Betisha misanim, are we afflicting ourselves on the ninth? Hello, Basir Misanim. We're supposed to afflict ourselves on the 10th. The 10th is the day of Yom Kippur. And Lom Lachavit is to tell you like this. On the 9th, you eat. But the eating of the 9th is considered by God as special as afflicting yourself. Kalaochel v'shosa b'chi. Anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th, Ma'alel avakasov. It's considered afflicting. So the more you afflict, the better. The more you eat, the better. So Ma'alel avakasov. The verse considers it kilu his ana shivasiri, as if he fasted, as if he afflicted himself on the 9th and on the 10th. Now you're not supposed to afflict yourselves for 2 days in a row, but the verse says afflict yourself on the 9th, and we know that it really means you're supposed to be eating on the 9th. You're supposed to be fasting on the 10th. Why does it say afflict yourself on the ninth? To say that your eating of the ninth is considered an afflicting. And therefore, if you eat on the ninth, it's as if you afflicted yourself and you had the mitzvah of Yom Kippur for the ninth and for the tenth. So the more you eat on the ninth, the better, because it's as if you have more affliction through the eating of the ninth. So I saw here an interesting thought. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes this in his book, Chashukei Chemed, from one of the early Belzer Rebbes, Rabbi Yoshua Rokeach, the Belzer Rav. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, why does the Gemara say if a person eats on the ninth, ki'ilu hitaneh, it's as if he fasted tishii v'asiri, the ninth and the tenth. It's not as if he fasted on the tenth, he did fast on the tenth. It's as if he fasted on the ninth, and certainly he fasted on the tenth. He fasted on the tenth. I mean, it's as if he fasted the ninth and the tenth. So he suggested the following. We say it on the end of Mincha, on a fast day, God, may it be your will that my fasting should be considered a carbon. And the fact that I have a little bit less fat and a little bit less blood because I didn't eat or drink today should be considered as if I took some of my blood and some of my fat and put it on the Mizbeach for you, like an animal. You put the blood and the fat of an animal into the fires of the Mizbeach. So the core of the fast day is the idea that it's as if I'm offering up myself, and through going through this uncomfortable experience of not eating and having a little bit less, some of my weight is going to go down. It's as if that weight was put onto the Mizbeach, was given to Hashem. So Hashem Yisbarach wants us on Yom Kippur to give him the nicest gift. So he says on the 9th of Tishrei, eat. So when you eat on the 9th of Tishrei, it's a mitzvah to eat. Normally there's no mitzvah to eat, but now there's a mitzvah to eat. So whatever fat I created through my eating on the 9th of Tishrei was mitzvah fat. It came through a mitzvah item. It's like eating matzah on Pesach. It's the one time, the two times you have a mitzvah to eat is to eat matzah on Pesach and to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So I created mitzvah fat. And this mitzvah fat is what I then give away to Hashem on Yom Kippur by fasting. So now I lose some of that mitzvah fat. So that's what the Gemara is saying. If you eat on the ninth, ki'ilu, it's as if his ana, it's as if he fasted shiva asiri, because even the fasting of the 10th, the real point is, it's a ke'ilu. It's the core of it is the, it's as if you offered it on the sacrifice. It's as if you offered it on the altar. That's the core of a fast day. So this fast day, it's as if you've given it onto the altar, both the 9th and the 10th is as if you've given it onto the altar, because you're eating a mitzvah item, and that mitzvah item is the fat that you're then giving to Hashem. You're giving to Hashem a very beautiful offering, a mitzvah fat. Rabbi Zilberstein said, so a person should try, if he can't, to eat, you know, mitzvah items on the 9th of Tishrei. You know, maybe take a estrogen that you used for mitzvahs of Sukkot and make out of it a mitzvah estrog jam, and eat those estrogim on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's really a mitzvah item is creating your mitzvah fat, and your mitzvah fat you're then giving away to Hashem by fasting on Yom HaKippurim.
Leftover Shabbos
food also works, exactly. Or from a siyum, that would work as well. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the topic of Yovel. We have completed our discussions of Tosefes, Shabbos, adding to holy times, adding to Shabbos, adding to Yom Kippur, adding to Shemitah, adding to Yom Tov. Tana Rabbanan lived in a Braisa. We know that in Yovel there are three mitzvot asei and one mitzvot lo tasei. The three positive mitzvot of Yovel are that you are to the court, some say every Jew, but simply it's the court. The court blows shofar on Yom Kippur. Avarta shofar truah ba'aretz. Another mitzvah of Yovel is that the fields that had, ancestral fields that were bought by people, have to be given back to the families that inherited them. It's called Shemitas Karkaos. And a third mitzvah of Yovel is that every Eved Ivri has to be freed and sent back to his family. Once you have these three positive mitzvahs of Yovel, then you have a prohibition of Yovel, the same prohibition you have during Shemitah. Don't you dare work the ground. Don't plow, don't plant, don't harvest. Let the ground rest. Right, in the 50th year. So that's a tough thing. The 49th year is Shemitah, and the 50th year is again Yovel. You go 2 years of Shemitah challenge. So now we're going to learn a machlokas, an argument of the Tanaim between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether... what's the absolute requirement to trigger the law? Does it have to be that there was a blowing of a shofar? Does it have to be that the slaves were freed in order for the prohibition to be triggered? Or maybe even without it, the prohibition is triggered. So Tana Rabbanan lived in a Braisa. The pasuk says Yovel hi tiyelachem. So that's a strange pasuk. It's extra words, number one. And also the word Yovel is inclusive, but the word he is exclusive. So that's to say the following, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even if they did not give fields back to the original owners, and even though they did not blow shofar, Yovel is still a Yovel, and anyone who is plowing and planting is in violation of a lav. Maybe even if they didn't send away these slaves, that's what it says, the word he is exclusion. You got to do something, you have to send away the slaves, send them back to their families. That's a good Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says we learn from Yovel he differently. Yovel he means, again, even if they did not give the fields back to the ancestral heirs, and even though they did not send the slaves back, still it would be Yovel, and a guy who plants is violating the lav. Would it be that it would be Yovel and the lav is triggered even if they didn't blow shofar? No, that they do need. That's what it says, he. On one hand, you have one word that is inclusionary. It includes Yovel. It sounds like anything could be, even without everything being done, it's still going to be Yovel. And then on the other hand, we make Rechad Mamet, we have another pasuk which is excluding, saying Yovel he. It's Yovel, not everything else. Ibnemani Omer, why do I say Yovel he? It's Yovel. Afbi Shalosh Shalchu. It's Yovel, even though they didn't send the slaves back to their families. Vein Yovel Elem Kin Taku, but it won't be Yovel unless they blow shofar. It's the Gemara. Lefi. So according to Rabbi Yossi, You could have a situation in the world where there are no Eved Ivris. Maybe nobody was sold to a family. But you can't have a situation in the world where there's no shofaros. There are always going to be horns of animals around. So there's going to be a shofar somewhere in the world. So that's the absolute requirement to create Yovel. Another explanation. So, Masur Lebezdin. The blowing of shofar is Bezdin's responsibility. So that we can say is an absolute requirement to create the Yovel atmosphere. Because Bezdin's going to do it. So, but to free slaves or to return lands, and it was true of Bezdin. It's not in Bezdin's hand, it's in the hands of each person who's a slave owner. He has to do it. So that it's not going to have the power of Yovel dependent on him. My dear Rach, why do you have to give the second explanation? If you're going to tell me, I say, no, the same way, there's always going to be some chauffeur somewhere. There's also going to be some Jew somewhere who's going to be an Eved Ivri. When we have Yovel, the answer is okay. Zumasrula Bezdin, the blowing of shofars in the hands of Bezdin, was Zuena Masrula Bezdin. Whereas the freeing of the slaves is not really in the hands of the Bezdin, it's up to each person. When did we start the first year of Yovel?
Yes.
After the 14 years of settling the land of Israel.
So, this 50-50-50 keeps on going, right?
Correct.
Now, what happens if the owner of the slave dies during these 15 years? Mm-hmm. And Jefferson have obligations of releasing the slaves?
That's right, yes. His heirs have to release the slave, come Yovel. So again, we had here, in terms of the mitzvot saseh, there are three mitzvot saseh for Yovel, to free the slaves, to return the lands, and to blow shofar. So we had an argument here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the absolute requirement is to free the slaves. And if they feed the slaves, then there's Yovel, and then there's the law of don't work the ground. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, the absolute requirement is the blowing of shofar. If they blew shofar, then there's the law of don't work the ground. But the freeing of the slaves is not an absolute requirement. So the Braisa itself discussed the idea of Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning? One of two reasons. Either because sometimes you could have no slaves around, so that can't be the trigger for Yovel, or because the slaves is not up to the court, it's up to people, ultimately, and we wouldn't want to leave Yovel in the hands of people, because maybe they won't do it, and then we won't have Yovel. So it has to be that what's controlling Yovel is the court, so it has to be the blowing of the shofar. Bishmal Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Kedekamar Taima, the Rabbis explained his reasoning, why he holds that the blowing of the shofar is the one thing which is required in order to make the year into a Yovel year. El Rabbi Yehuda, my time, why did Rabbi Yehuda say his reasoning, why did he say that it's the freeing of the slaves? And so the Gemara, Amar Kra, it's because of the Pasuk itself. That Pasuk, the Pasuk says, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim Shana, you're to make holy the 50th year. U'krasim Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveha, and declare liberty in the land to all those who live in it. Yovel He, it is Yovel. It'll be for you. Each person is to return to his homestead. Each person is to return to his family. So the verse says, and then it says, Yovel He. Since it says, and you are to declare freedom in the land to all those who live in it, then it says, Yovel He, it's a year of Yovel. So he holds Mikra Nidrash Lufana. When you have a Pasuk, it's referring to what was right in front of it. That's how you interpret it. So it says Yovel He, it is Yovel. What is it? What is the He? What is the thing that's the requirement for Yovel? Across the Dvar Bar Sechol Yoshveh, you are to declare freedom in the land to all those who live in it. But it's not referring to that which is before. It's not referring to things that are before this line. It's not referring to other events that are before this line, namely the blowing of the shofar. The Kuliyama, okay. Everybody agrees though. Dror Lashon Cheres, that the Krasim Dror sounds like freedom. My Mashma, how do you see that the word Dror is freedom? It's more the time of the Brai saying Dror Lashon Cheres, Dror means freedom. Baruch, I think one more minute, 6:13. How do we know that Dror is freedom? The time of the Brai saying Ein Dror El Lashon Cheres, Dror is freedom. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, because what is the meaning of the word drawer? So the word dira, residence, It's like a person who lives wherever he wants to. He's free, he's wealthy, so he can rent an apartment here, he can rent a room there, he can go wherever he wants. And he can take his merchandise throughout the country. So the guy who can move around from here to there, that's the word Ror. Amr Rabbi Abba said, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi. So according to one, the minimum is to blow shofar. According to the other, it's to free the slaves. However, Chacham disagree. They say all three mitzvahs are required. Shlashta and Ma'akvos, all three mitzvahs are required for it to be yovel. That's the Pesach Rambam. It will only become yovel if all three things are done. Namely, shofar was blown, the slaves were freed, and the lands were returned. The people said,
there were no slaves to free.
What's that?
There were no slaves
to be free. Ah, right. So then I think you'd be okay. But what happens the other way? What happens if you have one guy who says, I'm not freeing my slave? So does that now stop Yovel from the whole nation? So they want to say the Rambam means that most people have to free the slaves. Not absolutely everyone. You can't give everybody a veto power over Yovel. But that's the halacha. Shlosha makos, we need all three things. Because the Chacham hold Mikvah Lufanav, the verse of Yovel, he goes back to what's right before it, to cross the drawer, with Nefanav, and what's before that also. Namely to the idea of shiluach to the blowing of the shofar, ula achavin, what's going later to the return of the slaves, as well as the return of the lands. Ivok siv yovel, but it says yovel, which is inclusionary. Ahu, that's to say that yovel applies a few b'chutz la'aretz, and if a person has a Jewish slave outside of the land of Israel come the 50th year, he needs to free him too. Ivok siv ba'aretz, but it says, across the drawer ba'aretz, which is their freedom in the land. And so Gemara, what that means is like this, Ahu, b'zman shenoig drawer ba'aretz, noig b'chutz la'aretz. When you have yovel in the land, you have yovel out of the land. It's not shenoig ba'aretz, it's shenoig b'chutz la'aretz. When it doesn't apply in the land, it doesn't apply outside of the land. That's right, very nice. That's right. It's katem. Once every 50 years. Right. Beautiful. Right. The most infrequent mitzvah is the mitzvah to blow shofar. It's only once in 50 years. On Yom Kippur. Unatiyah. Then the Mishnah said that the first of Tishrei is the first of the year in terms of a sapling. When you put a tree into the ground, come the first of Tishrei. Now it moves on to the second year. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, Shalosh Shanim Arelim. 3 years, it'll be Arel. Namely, not to eat from the fruit, except when the verse says, Uvashana Haravias, and in the 4th year it's Karam Ravai, you bring it up to Yushalayim. And we know, Yolav Shana Shana Mi Tishrei, we have Xer Shav, it says here Shanim, or it says Shana Ravias, we can darshan from Tishrei, it says, Eretz Asherini Hashem Lokecha Ba Mereshis HaShana Va'anachri Shana, the land that God is watching from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, so it says beginning of the year, Mereshis HaShana, the first of Tishrei. Ask Gemara of Ligmor Shana Shana Mi Nisan, why don't we say that the first of the year changes with Nisan, because also with Nisan we have the word Shana, as it says, Vichnu Lochem Lochadshe HaShana, and so the Gemara done Shana and Shem, we take the pasuk that doesn't have the word months with it, it just has the word year. Mishana Shayim HaChadashim, we derive it from another verse that has the word year without the word months. Then Mishana Shayim HaChadashim, we don't darshan the verses of years without months, namely about Arla and the 4th year produce. Mishana from the verse about Nisan, it has the word Shana, but also the word Chadashim, Sheshima Chadashim.